Morning will be from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. If you have any encouragement, from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. Having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose, do nothing of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also in the interests of others.
Good to see everyone who's here this morning. You might keep your Bibles open at Philippians chapter 2. I'll refer to that passage a couple of times. I want to welcome everyone. I'll join in and welcome everyone who's here this morning. And I know we have visitors. We're grateful for your being here. I'll, together with Bill, say that we hope you'll want to come back and be with us again in the future. You can see from the title that's above me, Showing Respect, and from the reading that Kevin just did, I'm taking the lesson from this passage primarily here in Philippians 2, and in particular the phrase, to esteem others better than yourself, depending on your translation, but it will say something very similar to that. Basically, this morning, I want to talk about the idea of showing respect or giving respect to other people. Now, not so much the normal groups of people that we might talk about, but I'm looking at really showing respect to everyone. I was impressed a few weeks ago. Went to the grocery store one day, and there was a little old lady in there. She had a few items of groceries, and it just happened that this was in the middle of the day, but it just happened a rush of customers must have come in. It was really clear that she was having a little difficulty carrying her. She had a little hand basket of groceries, and a very small frame, and older, feeble, and as luck would have it, that time of the day, the cashier, there was only one cashier and people were lining up and that kind of thing. And, you know, I had a cart of groceries and so I just, you know, told her, go ahead. And, you know, we commonly do that kind of thing, or at least I assume you do as well. And I noticed before that, she tried to enter the line. I had been away and getting something, the last item or whatever. And a younger guy kind of stepped in front of her. And, you know, she wasn't moving too fast. And she, you know, just looked at him and cocked her head, so to speak. And you could tell, at least I assume, what she was thinking. You know, that was rude. You know, whatever. And then when I came up to the line and I motioned for her, and she came up right behind me, and I motioned for her to go ahead, she looked at me and she said, "Why, thank you, young man." And, which made me feel good, of course. but I thought about that. And I thought about the fact that really, and I'll just ask it as a question. Does it seem to you, I know it does to me, does it seem to you that people are just getting increasingly rude? I guess it does. But you know, you go to the grocery store, drive around, whatever. It just seems in our society, maybe it is because I'm transplanted from a place that places a high value on politeness, respect. You're taught from a little child, and I mean you're taught very strongly. So, yes ma'am, no ma'am, yes sir, no sir, please, thank you. And if you don't, you might be taught with a smack in the mouth. But you learn from a young age to show respect. But all of that aside, I'm not just talking about manners, and I'm not just talking about proper etiquette that we learn and so forth. I'm talking about just civility. I'm talking about rudeness. And it does seem, and I think a lot of you apparently agree, it does seem that people are just getting increasingly rude in our society. Let me make an observation or two. For one thing, we see rudeness glorified. If you look at, I don't go to the movies, theater, whatever you want to call it, just stopped doing that years ago on personal preference. That's not to say you can't, but I just don't. But the point is, I watch the promos of the movies that are coming out, and it seems to me that rudeness is just glorifying for a quick laugh. The comedies, just even in the promos, and I assume the movie is filled with the kind of thing, if it's not filth, it's rudeness. And that's what you use for a quick laugh. I will make this observation. You might turn to Romans 1 and verse 30. And if you're open to that passage or you look at that passage, you'll notice it is a list of sins. In fact, it's Paul's commentary, or God's, by inspiration through Paul. It is his commentary upon society and what happened to the world in general. Now, I won't go any deeper in that passage. You can look at it for yourself. But you will notice that there is a list of sins, and one of those in verse 30, if you'll notice where it says, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, if you're looking at that. And then it goes on to say, proud, boasters, etc. I want to focus on that term. It is a term that means insolent or despiteful. Literally, the word means insulting, and you may have a translation that says that. And you realize that what Paul is saying is that disrespect or insult or being insulting is an ongoing problem. In ancient times, in a world without God, it was a problem. And as a world or a society grows away from God, it continues to be a problem. In fact, a commentary upon society, if it is growing away from God, it is becoming more disrespectful. It is becoming a ruder society. It is becoming an insulting society. It is something that is laughed at, it's glorified, it's dismissed, it's acceptable, accepted, but it is not something where someone says, that's wrong. And we should. What Paul is saying here is that it is something that is sinful. It is something that deserves punishment from God. Now, we might look at this category of sins, we might look at Romans 1, and we might commonly think of the homosexuality, or the murder, or the disrespect of parents, or the lack of love, for natural love for a mother for its child. And we might see those as horrible sins. But we sometimes fail to look at passages like this and see that in and amongst those type sins are these type sins. To be insulting, to be rude, is an equally horrible sin to God. It is the kind of sin that is, quote, verse 32, worthy of death. Christians are not to be insulting people. They're not to be rude people. That is, it's something that God teaches us not to be. Let's go back to the passage Kevin read, and I won't reread all of it, but let's focus on verses 3 and 4 for a moment, where Paul says, what promotes the fellowship they have, what promotes the love they have, if you look at verses 3 and 4, is that nothing is done through strife or vainglory. The idea of that self-ambition, that promotion of self, me first, I'm best, all of that kind of thing. But in lowliness of mind, or humility, some of your translations will say, let each esteem other, the King James says, or others better than themselves. It's an attitude or a disposition that Christians have of placing value or worth upon other people. Now, I won't get deep into it, but if you notice in the context, in the verses that follow, Jesus placed that kind of value or that kind of worth upon us, and so he went to the cross and died for us. He could have simply left us in our sins. He could have been rightfully so, understand. He could have not insulted us, but made charges against us of how worthless we were. But he didn't. And in that attitude or that disposition as a Christian, we, verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of his neighbor or his brother or of others. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 13, I won't turn to the passage, but Paul made the point that in his past life, he was a persecutor. He was, and he uses a term in the King James, injurious. Well, that word is literally, he was an insulter. He was insolent. What he means is that he said things just categorically about Christians. We often talk about Paul arresting Christians. We talk about Paul killing Christians. And we talk about how horrible that was. do we realize that one of the things Paul said that he did that was so horrible was that he insulted them. He was insolent toward them. And that's exactly what he says in 1 Timothy verse 13 of chapter 1. One word that's often translated respect literally means to invert. Now that's a strange term. In other words, when you see respect in the Bible, for example, when you see it in Hebrews 12 and verse 9, it literally means to invert. Well, what does that mean? Well, it carries a positive connotation of giving respect, inverting oneself, of giving respect, of giving reverence, of having regard. It means to invert the situation. It means to turn it upside down, where I would naturally be inclined as a human being to look at myself. I now look at the other person. You know, we easily see that in passages like Hebrews 12 and verse 9, which speaks of the child for his father, the son for his father. I might look at myself, and I might think of my own personal wants, desires, needs, etc., but this is my father. He deserves respect. He deserves my regard because of his position. There's a negative connotation with it, and negatively, it means to confound, or literally, to put to shame. Now you can see, if you look carefully at this, you can see that these are two sides of the same coin. What's happening is, when I have respect, I am beginning to turn the situation where I would naturally be inclined to look at myself, regard myself, etc. first. And I would look down on the other person. They're, after all, not as good as I am. And that's the way many people feel. I'm the best, you're not as good as I am. But I invert it. I turn it upside down, as it were. It causes me to put myself to shame or bring myself lower. It causes me to put the other person higher. It causes me to respect them, to give them regard, to give them reverence. We can really see it's two sides of the same coin. Now, our English word, respect, literally has the idea, if you notice, of looking back. It's a compound Latin term, or comes from a compound Latin term, which means to look back or look back at. In other words, it's the sense of taking a second look, and it's a merited second look. As I'm driving along, as I'm walking along or whatever it might be, or looking or scanning around a room, there are things that deserve a second look. And I don't mean, you know, whatever, any negative sense you might talk about, but I'm just talking about there are certain things that deserve or merit a second look. If I walked into a room, for example, my wife and daughter were in a room, a crowded room of people. They would deserve a second respect. Look, why? Because I have respect to them. They are my wife and daughter. It's that kind of thing. It's something that deserves or merits you looking back at it. Not just simply looking at it and going on without thinking, without regard. Now you can see how you go from the idea of looking back at to respect or regard for something. If you're willing to look at something, if it deserves a second look, chances are it deserves, or that person deserves, your respect. Now let's go further with that in the New Testament. Another similar word, and I use some of this in the opening language, another similar word that's translated respect sometimes in the New Testament conveys the idea of honor or price, literally. You see it in 1 Peter chapter 2, when he speaks of Jesus as the precious cornerstone. The word precious literally means to place value. In other words, again, I'm looking at something, I'm taking a second look. Why? Because it has value. If I, again, walk into that room of a crowd and I see a particular person, I look at them more than once. Why? Because they have value to me. Etc. With objects, with things. I might scan a group of objects on a table at a flea market, but if I see something that I know has more value, that'll catch my eye. It's that kind of thing. It means to place value. By analogy, then, it means to esteem something, to give it dignity, our honor. Now, where are we going with this? Obviously, many people freely speak of equal rights in our country. Equal rights are personal rights. And that's become a mantra in this day and time. Everyone wants to talk about their rights. My right is this, my right is that. Even our presidents give speeches of people's rights. But when you look in the New Testament and you think and consider the idea of respect, respect carries with it the intrinsic idea that you have a perceived inequality. And that's born of humility. In other words, to put that in very simple terms, I cannot respect other people unless I can humble myself. If I'm always thinking in terms of my rights, my personal rights, equal or otherwise, but if I'm always focusing on me and my rights, I can never look at the other person with respect. I can never give respect. It infers that some things and some people are considered by me to be more important. Now, isn't that exactly what Paul is saying in Philippians 2? Let each esteem other better than themselves. There is the idea of me looking not at my rights, but at my position before God as humbled before God, and thus placing value on the other person. Certain people naturally gain our respect, without question, because of their position. And I think we easily see this whole idea in some of these things. God does. Government. Family members do. Elders do. Loved ones do. We might put up a number of other categories. But their position alone, it merits my respect. If I walked into a room, if I walked into a room and President Obama were in here, it doesn't matter how you personally feel. That's the president. You're going to talk a certain way. You're going to act a certain way. You're going to speak in a certain manner. Why? Because he's the president. You're going to, if you started to step, both of you started to step in the same direction, you're going to yield and allow him to go first. Why? Because he's the president. If he starts to speak and you start to speak, you're going to shut up. Why? Because he's the president. You understand that. But what we need to understand is that Christians need to learn that others, not just these people in these special positions, but others, in fact, all others, deserve our respectful attitude and behavior. That's what Paul is saying in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2 and verse 3 is telling us that others are to be esteemed. Look at that term there. You might have another translation, but many are most translated esteem. What does it mean? It means to deem something or to count it. Literally what Paul is saying is others are to be counted by me more important, better than myself. Now, that's very difficult. That's hard for a person, especially if you are a person that's very egotistical. Now, naturally, many of you probably are. If you're a person inclined to fight for your rights, and I am, just naturally so, and many of you are. If you're a person that is ambitious, does want to get ahead, does see yourself not in the lowest at, you know, a station of life, but climbing, if you see all of that, that's very difficult. And I'm one of those people. Perhaps you are as well. And yet as a Christian, my obligation to God is to humiliate or humble myself. Both terms are used. So that I might regard other people. Count them. Deem them more important. Turn with me to Romans 12 and let's look at two verses. Wish we had time to go through the whole passage. We don't. But let's look at Romans chapter 12 and a couple of things Paul says. First of all, in verse 10. Now here Paul says, and it's a passage where Paul is piling up words for love. Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love. But notice this phrase, in honor preferring one another. Notice that Paul is talking about giving preferential treatment. We sometimes speak of that. But preferential treatment to other people versus demanding it myself. You know, the idea or the attitude of I demand that someone treat me a certain way. I demand I be treated well. I demand that I be treated in a certain manner. I'd already put this sermon together and I'd already done the PowerPoint and so forth, but I happened to go, going through another one of those episodes, unfortunately, with my infection. my leg and so forth. Won't get into that shaggy dog story. But I had to go to the doctor yesterday morning, and I had to go to the medical lab. And I, you know, early in the morning, and I'm tired and sleepy and everything else, to, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning to start with. But nonetheless, I get there, and it just so happened I ran into one of those people. And you know what I'm talking about. I mean, the kind of person that never met you in your life, and for whatever reason, doesn't matter what the reason is, but for whatever reason, immediately begins to mistreat you. They don't treat you with any respect whatsoever. They don't even treat you with common courtesy. And unfortunately, when you're dealing with somebody that's about to jab needles into you, you want to be very careful how you respond to that. You know? No polite manner whatsoever. I don't know what the problem was. It didn't matter. But all morning I kept thinking about this sermon. I kept thinking, I'm not going to say a word to you other than, yes, ma'am. But I wish you could be there tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock because I'm going to preach to you. She was just rude. Man, was she rude. But it's the idea of giving preferential treatment. It's the exact opposite of that. It's the idea of looking at someone else. I mean, here I am. I'm obviously sick. I'm in pain. I'm, you know, I've got to go through this, in some respects, humiliating treatment and so forth. Be nice at least. I mean, understanding at least. Understand that you're not the one that's sick. Understand you're not the one that's about to get jabbed with needles. Nobody likes that unless something's wrong with them. Just, I mean, at least be courteous, be kind. But no, no preferential treatment. Well, Paul's telling us as Christians, that's what we have to do. In honor, preferring one another. Notice how he says it. Look at verse 16. Humbly, condescend. In verse 16, if you look at the latter part of the verse, he says, in the King James, condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Now, it's very difficult because the word literally, condescend, we use it in a certain way. I'm not going to get into that. But really, again, a compound word. It means to descend together or to descend with someone. In very simple terms, here's exactly what it means. If I look at another person and I consider them, logically, rationally consider that person down in life. I mean, they're just not rich, and they're not powerful, and they're not influential, and they're not aristocratic, the word trying to get out. They're not a president, they're not a corporation leader or anything else. They're just down in life. What I'm being taught by Paul here is to get down there with them. I'm being taught to lower myself to that person. Not reach down there and jerk them by the collar and grab them, pull them up to me, and if they won't come up to me as quick as I want, then drop them and cast them aside. Condescend to men of low estate. Get down there where they are. Mentally prostrate yourself to that person's level. We use all kinds of phrases to help us. Try to walk in their shoes. Try to see it through their eyes. All of that kind of thing. Philippians 2:4, I won't turn back to it, but Philippians 2:4 is teaching us that others' interests are to be considered first. Look not every man to his own things, but on the things of the other person. Paul says exactly that in 1 Corinthians 10. And in that passage, you might want to go home and read that passage. It's talking about people that are mistaken about eating meats, certain meats, and all of that kind of thing. It doesn't matter. What Paul is saying in this passage, in fact, let's turn and read verse 33. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 33. I ask you this as a question in the bulletin this morning. What's the ultimate goal? What's the purpose? Why do we do that? Why do we try to get down there where they are? Why do we make sure we give preferential treatment? Make sure we honor other people? Why are we doing that? Because like Paul said in verse 33, I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. You can't save people being rude to them. Nobody that I know of has ever been saved because, and specifically due, to somebody being rude. Have you ever known any member of the church that ever said, how were you converted? Somebody said, dude was really rude to me, so I was baptized. I never have. And I dare say there's never been anyone that responded to the gospel because somebody treated them rudely. However, if they treated them with respect, they responded to that. That's exactly what Dale Smeltzer did to me, and I was not a very respectful individual. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, we're told of love. Love does not behave itself, King James, unseemly. It doesn't behave itself rudely. I think the New King James actually says that. Some translations do. It doesn't behave itself rudely. Love, a loving individual, is not rude. It's like cutting into a line. Like that grocery store incident. It's rude. You think you're more important. Your time is more valuable. You belong first in that line. You're more important than that little old lady. Or talking over somebody. You ever had to try to have a conversation with someone? You can't get a word in, quote, edgewise. It means you can't even wedge a phrase or a response or a word into the conversation because they dominate. They won't shut up. They talk constantly. What is that person saying to you? I'm more important than you are. What I have to say is more important than what you have to say. And we hear it loudly and clearly. Now, on the other hand, I give up my place, not just to the little old lady, but to anybody. I'm willing to give up my place in a line, or I'm willing to be quiet and listen to the other person. What does it say to them? It says loudly and clearly, you're important. What you have to say is important to me, and I want to hear it. You can't teach someone, you can't have an effect on someone getting across the message that you're more important than they are. That's why Paul said what he said here. In Luke 17, I won't go to this passage, I looked at it recently. But you remember the story of the lepers there? 10 were healed, 1 turned back and said thank you. Remember that passage? Saying thank you. You know, it's such a simple thing. It's a simple thing, and it often gets overlooked. But saying thank you means a couple of things. One, it means you took the time to think about someone who did something for you, and not just what you got. Saying thank you means you think about someone's sacrifice, or their gift, or their time, or whatever it is. You think about that, not just about what you got out of it. Saying thank you also means that you recognize that people like to be appreciated. Everybody likes to be appreciated. No one likes to just do everything for other people so they can have something and never give anything back. I don't know anyone, never have known anyone that just enjoyed being unappreciated. And there's probably not anyone in this room here today that enjoys it. I know I certainly don't. Then say thank you. Take time to say it. Tact. I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on this. But tact is the sense, according to Webster's, of what to do or say to maintain good relations with others or avoid offense. In other words, you phrase things a certain way to make sure you don't give offense to people. You're careful. Why? Because you care about other people. You esteem other people important enough to be tactful. There are a lot of phrases in the Bible. Colossians 4 and verse 6 says, your speech is to be with grace, seasoned with salt. In Ephesians 4 and verse 29, let all things be done unto edifying. Your speech is supposed to build other people up. Old Testament, Proverbs 16, verses 21 and 24, speaks of the sweetness of the lips in verse 21. Or, your words are to be pleasant, like a honeycomb, in verse 24. The world might be rude, and it might be tactless, but Christians should not be. It's as simple as that. Showing respect. I summarize by saying this. People do seem to be getting increasingly rude. When I asked you that question, a lot of you responded, sure are, do, yeah. Mm-hmm. Why? And why do I get caught up in that? And I do. From time to time. Maybe we all do. But rudeness, lack of respect, might have become an accepted way of life in our society, and we might say that historically, that's been a problem in a society growing away from God. Is that where I want to be? And do I want to be perceived by people as growing away from God due to my tactless manner, my rude manner, etc.? It's not supposed to be the attitude or the behavior of Christians. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let me esteem others better than myself. Let me look not on my own things, but on the things of others.